The most hyped electronic device that came this week actually wasn't even at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Very true.
The guy with the biggest electronic huevos in the country, in the world, Steve Jobs, decided he's going to have his Macworld show opposite of the Consumer Electronics Show because
he's so vain.
Couldn't do it the week before or the week after. He had to do it at the same time as the Consumer Electronics, in a completely different area, to unveil his severely overhyped device called the iPhone. And all you've heard from the media is, oh, it's amazing and it's wonderful. And yes, it is the coolest phone you've ever seen, no question. But all of you business guys out there, raise your hand. If a cool phone is what you want when you're on the road, no.
Yeah, no.
This thing is priced like it's aimed at the people that can justify it. $499 to $599 for the phone itself. The only provider that supports it at this point is Singular. It won't be out till June. And to be able to use the phone in its full functionality, it will cost you nearly $200 a month, according to what we've seen here for Wi-Fi service, data service, and the actual phone plan.
That's fantastic.
$160, $180. It has no buttons.
Yeah.
Okay, all of you out there that are used to being able to hit a button on your cell phone because you know by feel where it is, forget about it. Can't do that. It's going to use a proprietary operating system.
Of course.
Claim it's a Mac OS X.
OS 10, yeah. Good luck.
And knowing Apple to be who they are, they'll probably do everything they can to make it inoperable with anything else. So, you know, it's fairly easy to go from your Trio address book, migrate that to your BlackBerry, to, I wouldn't put it past them for them to make sure, in order for you to use that phone book that you have on your desktop, you have to get another iPhone. So there's some interesting things that you really, there's a great blog out there from CNET, crave.cnet.com on the iPhone. And it's 13 reasons to doubt the iPhone hype, and it really does go into details. No question it's a cool phone. Priced at about half the price. And
it's only half the price?
No, I would say if it were about half the price,
I think it's
got a chance. But unless you're Paris Hilton or a rapper, yo, and you want to impress people with the latest and greatest gadget, this thing's priced in the category of the BlackBerries and the Trios. And in order to use it, you got to pay that. I mean, a business person can justify that.
Right.
Who wants something that does so many things that your battery dies after 10 minutes? And, oh, by the way, you know how all you iPod owners that have batteries that you can't replace?
Same problem.
Guess what? How many cell phone people out there go through batteries once a year, or maybe even more often? Because you just use them and use them and use them?
Yeah, everyone.
So there's a lot of hidden parts in there. You got to be very careful before you say, hey, that's cool, I want that.
Is that a Sony laptop battery that's in there?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Exploding phone, just what you needed there. So, all
right,
let's go back to the phones here and see if we can't solve a few other problems of the world. Lewis!
Hey, you know what you said about the cell phones not having buttons?
Yeah.
The projected computer keyboard that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
A touch typist would be useless because no buttons to press, no feel.
No, actually, that's not true. It projects the QWERTY keyboard onto any flat surface, and you type just like you would on a regular keyboard.
Yeah, but you can't feel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But again, it's for that, in my BlackBerry, instead of having to use my thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, I could use this much more effectively, so it's still way, way far ahead. It actually has a usefulness. It's not made for notebooks and laptops. I saw a precursor of this in the Microsoft Home about 6 years ago, where they actually project the image from the ceiling down onto the kitchen counter when you're so that you could actually project like the recipe that you're working on, and it's just right there on the counter, and you can hit buttons to go back and forth. And
if you spill milk, you don't get the recipe all messy.
That's right. So what's going on in your world there, Lewis?
Well, my computer is slowing down, so I went to the Windows Task Manager and went to Performance, and the performance graph is just jumping up and down all over the place.
And you're not even doing anything. It's just jumping up and down by itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be like your engine revving itself constantly.
It looks like an oscilloscope with a male voice on it.
First of all, those of you that have Windows 2000, Windows NT, or Windows XP, if you do a Control-Alt-Delete, you can bring up the Task Manager. This is what Lewis is referring to. It's also what I wrote about in the last column last week that just created the absolute most mail that we've ever had in 12 years of doing this.
Gave everyone a heart attack.
And the follow-up column on what you can do if you have too many processes running and all that, that's coming in Monday's Tribune, so watch for that as well. So when you do that, you click on the Processor tab. Is that what you did?
I clicked on several tabs. Yeah.
Oh, the performance. No, the performance tab is what you clicked on to see this spiking CPU usage, right?
Yep.
So the only
100% to 30% jump back and forth.
Right. So the only thing that can be causing that is something that was installed in your system is asking for processor time on a regular basis. Now, that could be something you need, or it could be something you don't want in there, like spyware, adware, viruses, worms, trojans, all kinds
of
goodies.
Speaking of something I need, Windows Explorer EXE is using huge amounts of CPU time when I don't have any Explorer windows open at all.
No. Explorer.exe is the base kind of module that everything that has to go through Windows has to go through. So those programs that I'm talking about that are probably they've hidden themselves in your machine, they're using Explorer.exe to use up the CPU. That's how they function. How many processes, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner, how many processes do you see running?
35 right now.
35, okay. So the number of processes you have running are okay. I'd be okay with the number.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously one of the processes that are running in there, or several, I would suggest that you probably have some kind of infection, spyware, adware, something, because that's the kind of performance you get or the behavior you get from that type of code.
Because it's constantly. Spybot and adware, would those be good to run?
Not going to do it. What you may want to do is go click on the processes tab and search Google for every single one of those processes that's running to figure out which one it is that's probably the bad guy. Because that you got a bad guy in there. It's a properly configured machine should just flatline when nothing's going on. Hopefully you got something out of that. We still got a half an hour to go here. Bill, you have a similar situation. He's got a brand new computer that's got this constant usage as well. So we're going to solve that problem when we come back. It's the Data Doctors on the Computer Corner. Back after this. That's the way we feel here on the Computer Corner. That's why we come here every Saturday to help you with your technology. We have people that need us. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not going to go Sally Fields on you here.
They like me.
We've been reviewing the goings-on, the happenstance at the world's largest tech gathering, the Consumer Electronics Show, this past week in Las Vegas. And we're highlighting some of the things that we think will have some relevance in this calendar year, or at least in your near to late future, such as, how about a surge protector that will allow you to actually use all of the plugs? Belkin's design, and it got an innovation award for this really cool-looking, compact surge protector, and we have a link on our website. And so all the wall warts, all the big, fat, module-type plug-in devices go along the side, and all the standard plugs that go across the top. Duh.
Yeah, maximizing space. Very nice.
Check that out on our website as well, the virtual keyboard that I refer to that I'm hoping if I talk about it enough, these people will send me one. How about wireless power?
You know, that's kind of good and bad all at the same time, right?
Imagine this. You have this little thing that connects somewhere on the wall that just is constantly transmitting low-frequency radio frequencies. Trickle charging your cell phone.
Hmm.
So as long as you're sitting in the office, it's just constantly getting a little charge.
Nothing like a little radiation throughout the day.
Well, there is the whole impedance thing and the sterile or whatever, but
just take a little blue pill, you're
listen,
good.
Listen, if I got to choose between a dead battery on my cell phone and never having kids again, it's pretty easy, you know? There was a neat device, an easy way to back up your address book in your cell phone. A lot of people don't know how to do the sync on the computer. Well, there's a device that looks like a USB flashcard. Mm-hmm. You just plug it into your phone, and it click a button, and it just sucks all the stuff down into this device, and then you can plug it into the computer and work with it. And another way to back that up if you're...
very nice.
If you're what we call a cybertard.
Technology challenged. I like the cybertard.
You cybernauts don't need this device. How about a flashcard that by flipping it over, looking at this little LCD, it would tell you how much space you had left on the flashcard? Now, is that not one of those, what took you so long?
Yeah, this is a, yeah, duh.
What's the biggest, you know, pain? You got a bunch of flashcards, and you're trying to, you stick it in the camera, and you take off.
Which one's empty?
It's full.
Yeah.
Wish I'd have known before I put it in. Now you can't.
That would be nice. They need that for video camcorder tapes.
Yeah, and then Kodak had a very cool dual lens 10x optical zoom digital camera with Bluetooth.
Hmm.
It was like $350. Now, we talked about digital cameras in the past on the show. Digital zoom bad, optical zoom good.
Right.
Most cameras optical zoom, it goes 4x, maybe 6x.
Yeah.
This is 10x, and it uses two different lenses to do that.
Very nice.
Then, because it's Bluetooth, you can transmit through Bluetooth to other devices from the camera.
Sure. So, that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
And Kodak, you know, they tend to keep their cameras pretty simple to use.
Yeah, it is a very nice, and it's very compact, and so on and so forth. So check out all those links, all those products. If you heard something, you said, sounded good. Check out the links on our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section, and bada bing, bada boom. Speaking of bada bing, bada boom, it's time for the Geek Speak of the Week.
Dun, dun, dun. Nice.
We don't have our music.
I know. I was trying to ad-lib it.
Oh, that's what I was waiting for. Us waiting for the battle cry before we started announcing what it is.
Well, go ahead and cry.
It's the HTPC.
This is our Geek Speak of the Week, yes?
HTPC.
Another, no, you can't call it an acronym because it doesn't spell out a word, but it's a abbreviation. Another one of those four-letter words in the technical. HTPC. And what does HTPC stand for?
A home theater personal computer.
Ah.
Now, is that different from a media center?
No, a media center would be considered an HTPC.
Right, falls under the category.
Media center being the trademark by Kleenex.
These things want a relationship with the TV.
Yeah, anything.
So,
yeah, right.
Anything that wants to integrate all of the different media sharing or recording TV or whatever that may look like, these devices will do it for you.
Music, video, pictures, you know.
Everything.
It's just another one of those complicated devices that most people in the house can't figure out.
Sure.
And if it's got a remote control, forget about it.
Well, if it's got Media Center on it from Windows, forget about it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with getting a blue screen in the middle of Desperate Housewives?
Well, for me, that's just, that's a blessing.
It works.
But, you know.
Don't mess with my son's games.
Well, you know, now that we'd have a problem with.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. All right, let's go to our tip of the week.
Okay, so the tip of the week this week is add backup to your Windows XP Home machine.
Yeah, Windows XP Home, no backup system. How do you back up?
Not at all. Well, if you go to our website or if you subscribe to our newsletter,
mm-hmm.
you will actually get this wonderful information. And basically, all you have to do is have your original CD, and
right.
this will tell you exactly how to back it up.
And it'll install a program that allows you to back up. So a lot of people say, oh, I don't know how to back up. First thing is you have to have a way to back up. So if you don't want to buy one of these fancy schmancy backup systems, then you can look at something like that. How about our head whack of the week?
So the head whack of the week is a way to, you know, you always have those certain websites that you like or that you can't find all the time. They're very obscure.
Well, you're searching for something, right.
You can't find them. So basically, the missing web page is the head whack of the week, and it allows you go to Google.
Excuse me.
You bet. And you get that found page, or the
page
not found
error.
Right. Yeah, I can't talk today anyway. So
I put in my search mechanism mm-hmm. or search criteria. I get a page of stuff. I see that first one. Yeah, that's what I want. And I click on I get a page not found.
Right.
What do I do now?
It's a great question.
You click on the back button, right?
That's exactly right.
And then
right.
You look real close at those Google results.
Yep.
And look for a little tiny thing in gray letters that says what? Cached?
Cached memory.
What that means is Google has a copy of a previous copy of that page. Or sometimes you'll do that search,
mm-hmm.
and the description will say one thing, and you go to the page, and it says something completely different because it's a dynamic page, and it hasn't been updated in Google's index. So if you go back and click on the cached, then you'll see the one that's in their cache. That
the last time it was viewed.
That created this particular summary. So that's our head whack of the week, and our tip of the week If you want these delivered to your inbox, along with the Geek Speak of the Week, absolutely free of charge.
It's a beautiful thing.
Week after week. Feel free to subscribe at our free help center. Or if you can't, if you've tried because your internet provider is just scraping out all these mass-produced devices, you can always look at the archives of our newsletter. The last 10 archives are always posted at the free help center there. Look on the left-hand side, and you are smart enough to figure it out from there, I think.
Very nice.
You think?
I think.
Let's go back to the phones.
Rarely do I think.
Okay. There we go. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Bill, who has a very similar situation to our last caller, Louis, with a slow computer. But the difference is, how old is this computer?
2.5. Well, Christmas Day.
Wow. So, and it's already bogged down and become almost useless.
Has been since day one.
I see. So that's quality you can afford. That's what we call
it. Direct from Dell.
Ooh,
oh, I didn't want... Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, since you brought that up...
Thank you, by the way.
Those guys are notorious. See, this trick that's going on... I got to kind of explain the economics of the computer world to you. Computers are very high-demand items. They're very competitive. And so there's very little what we call margin... In other words, Dell doesn't make a whole lot of money on that hardware.
Right.
Where they supplement their income when they sell you that computer...
AOL.
...is they load it up.
If
that's all they did, it would be okay, but that's not where they stop.
Right, I know.
They load it up with a bunch of trialware. Okay?
Okay.
So all these partners of theirs have paid them money to grab a piece of real estate on your desktop.
Right.
And most of these are good for 30, 60, 90 days, including, in a lot of cases, the antivirus.
Right, Norton.
Which is crazy. The productivity software like Microsoft Office.
That was on there.
Yeah, but it's only good for 90 days.
Right.
Right, unless you pay for it.
No.
So
right.
Now, so this machine comes preloaded with all of these, don't you want to buy these, so that Dell can make extra money on that sale to you.
And there's some sort of network assistant that's driving me crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you buy machines from major manufacturers these days, what you have to understand is that's how they're trying to gain some margin back. They're going to sell you the computer at a lower price, but they're subsidizing it with all these other partnerships.
You know, I buy 512 megabytes, and they use it all up before I turn it on.
Well, that processor, the whole show, the analogy we always use, remember that we call it the excretion, the Ford Excursion?
Yeah.
You know, that big monster SUV?
Right.
It comes preloaded with 8 passengers. It's like, what are you people doing in my car?
Right.
So that's kind of what's happening. So you need to kick those people out of your car.
Okay, how do I do it?
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, the stuff that you can identify that you don't want, go to your add remove programs in the control panel and start uninstalling that stuff.
Okay.
Okay? All the trialware. Norton Antivirus, unfortunately, has become a behemoth of a program. We recommend the Computer Associates protection packages.
Yeah, I heard that on one of your prior shows, and I couldn't. Do you just go to CA.com or
sure.
Computer Associates?
You can go to CA.com.
Okay.
And you'll see there's an online, there's trial versions, there's all that.
Okay.
The difference is the footprint, the number of, that you know, that you were looking at your CPU usage?
Yeah, it was 100%.
Yeah, it's 100%. That's nice.
That's good.
Thank you, Michael.
Hard at work.
Michael Dell. The footprint, the percentage of resources that the CA package uses is significantly lower than both McAfee and Norton. It's one of the reasons why we like it. It's much lighter on its feet. There's so much stuff that's running on there anymore. How many processes are running, by the way, in your machine?
You know, I haven't turned it on right today, but it would take too long.
Well, that tells me already it's probably in the 50, 60 processes area.
Right.
We like to see desktops in the 35, 38 max.
Okay.
And so when we service machines, we have over 18 years, we've developed these processes that ensure that every time we touch a computer, we go through and we pull all that junk out. Some of it you can uninstall with the traditional uninstall programs.
Right.
Some of it you can get rid of with anti-spyware and that type of thing. But a lot of times, now your machine's fairly new, so you probably don't have a bunch of rogue software that jumped in from the internet.
Couldn't be.
Only
been online once. That's to go to the home page of the ISP.
You don't like waiting a half an hour to be able to get online?
No.
It's like, well, maybe you should try dial-up.
Right.
This is dial-up.
Oh, that's the problem.
There's
yeah.
another
it's
problem.
Even worse. But yeah. You know what? I've got a 1 gigabyte system in another room, but it has nothing on it. It came clean with just XP Pro on it and nothing else installed.
And it smokes, doesn't
it? It's like lightning, even on dial-up.
So, again, folks, when you're buying a new computer, take the pain that Bill is going through. Now, he just bought this machine. He's now either going to have to pay somebody a significant amount of money to clean it up or spend an enormous amount of time.
Or send it back.
Or send
there
it.
There you go.
Because I've got 30 days, and I'm really upset about this.
Well, it is pretty... in your next purchase, you want to talk about this with whoever you're buying it from,
right?
To ensure that when you take delivery of that computer, it is absolutely ready to go without all this extra junk.
And I was going to ask you, is there any place, anybody you would recommend where you can get a system that's just empty other than the OS? And
well, most local shops, the little mom and pops, the local guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, those guys all do that. We've been custom building computers for our customers for, you know, 15 years
right.
because of this problem. It's just gotten a lot worse.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously we do, and there's hundreds of other companies that will do that here for you in the local area as well. So ask around, see who's out there that your friends and family recommend. Bill, unfortunately, I'm going to put you on hold here in a second because we got to go to traffic and weather, but take that information from that pain that Bill just went through. Remember that before you buy your next computer. Ask these questions. Don't take delivery with all this junk. All right, let's go to traffic and weather with Big Al Summers. The Consumer Electronics Show has wrapped up in Sin City.
Hey, Kevin.
Most of the technology solutions seeking a problem, searching for a problem, have all been packed away and sent back to whomever. I put a link on our website to I didn't even realize they were a Tempe-based company, but this is a really cool-looking product called a Switchback. It's this ruggedized PC. It's kind of a combo, not quite a handheld, not quite a laptop, but it's got this interchangeable back end, so you can turn it into a GPS, you can turn it into, it can have multiple operating systems, and you can beat the dickens out of it. It's not made for you and I, the consumer, but I just thought, if you really like cool stuff, those of you taking a 6-month sabbatical to go down the Amazon or something, you know, this might be the, you know, in case you drop it in water or whatever. So check that out. The Blu-ray HD DVD combo player that basically has probably gotten the most notice at the Consumer Electronics Show. Very expensive now, but this signals the beginning of a lot of companies coming out with a combo player. So all of you trying to figure out which one to buy, HD DVD or Blu-ray, if you can wait another 3 to 6 months, you can probably start to see a competitive landscape out there for these combo players. And in about a year, it'll probably be normal for all the DVD players to have both. And then by the end of next year, they'll be $99.
Right, exactly. But now life is good because of it.
Caught that?
I doubt it.
LG is the company that got the award for that. So, also, wireless keyboard and mice. My biggest pet peeve with them is you're constantly having to replace batteries.
Yep.
Seems like they just eat them up. Microsoft has the first rechargeable wireless keyboard and mouse combination.
So the keyboard and the mouse.
Correct.
That's better.
So the little bay that it's
instead
connects
of just
to.
The mouse, yeah. That would be helpful.
Nice. Very. Good stuff. So check out those resources on our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section and you'll see links to that and one of my favorites. I can't wait to see this thing. The world's smallest high-def video camcorder. Swing batter.
What?
It weighs less than 1 pound.
Really?
From Canon.
Yeah.
Little teeny tiny HD.
That'd be nice, because most of the HD are gigantic.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Okay, let's see here. Let's see if we can sneak in at least one more caller. And those of you holding, hold through the end of the show. We'll take you off the air. Alan, you have a question about CD recording?
Yes, let me kind of explain what's going on here.
Oh, it's going to be one of these?
Yeah, it's going to be one of these. I guess I consider myself somewhat computer astute, but this is kind of flustering.
Okay.
I have
We only have about 3 minutes here. So.
3 minutes. Okay, well, I'll try to make it as short as possible.
Or if you want, I mean, if it's really going to take a while, I'll be more than happy to help you off the air if that's going to be better.
No, let's see what we can do.
All right, let's go with it.
All right. I've been trying to transfer some pictures from my hard drive into CD-ROM.
Okay.
And I'm using Neoburn.
All right.
The OEM version.
Okay.
And it puts the data, you know, all the folders and everything on the CD-ROM, but it fails to transfer the images. at least all of them.
And you don't think you're being picky?
Why would anybody be picky about this?
I don't know. You goofy people expecting computers to work all the time.
Yeah. My question is it a
the most likely cause is that, how old is this machine?
Well, it's about a year old. It's a Pentium 4 with the hyper-threading in it.
Okay, and this drive came in the machine, correct?
It's one that I built up.
Okay, but you put it in there when you built it and all that?
Yes.
Is it a no-name generic Taiwanese brand, or is it a name brand drive?
No, it's...
Never heard of it, right? Can't pronounce it, one of those? What happens with these devices is that the laser itself can kind of get out of alignment,
yeah.
And there's no way to fix that. And the good news is CD burners are pretty inexpensive, so what I would recommend, since you're one of these, I can build it my own guys, go get a replacement CD, DVD, burner, whatever it is that you got. Make sure you can take it back in case it's not. Pop it in there and see if that solves your problem, because I'll bet that will. About the only thing that it can be is the drive's not playing nice.
Very common.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you got something from this show, and if you either were participating in the show and you want to hear your own voice on the radio, or you missed any part of the show, very shortly after the broadcast, we will upload our podcast version where you can listen to the whole thing in its entirety, so that it's Ken and Brian and Kevin reminding you to, if it ain't broke, fix it till it is.